Just saying, you don't have to be such a control freak all the time. Chris flinched. Olivia buried her face in Farrah's shoulder. Control freak? Courtney was Mount Etna waiting to erupt. Farrah saw steam pouring out of her ears. Screw you! It's easy for you to be the chill, laid-back one. I'm the one who makes sure we have fun. I come up with the activities. I keep this group together. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for me.
Listen to yourself.
Leo's sharp tone sent a ripple of shock through the group.
No one asks you to do those things. It's like you have some sort of god complex.
Courtney, Olivia, and Farrah gasped at the same time.
Leo.
Chris took off her glasses and flicked some sand off her shoulder. Her voice was glacial.
You should go back to the hotel.
Gladly.
Leo tossed his towel over his shoulder and walked off, leaving silence in his wake.
That escalated quickly, Luke finally said.
Are you okay?
Farrah wasn't sure what to say. They'd never had a big fight in the group before.
Yeah, I can't believe him. God complex.
Courtney squirted sunscreen into her palm and rubbed it onto her arms with more force than necessary.
I don't have a god complex.
Naruto coughed.
Of course you don't. You take charge and he can't handle it.
Chris put her sunglasses back on.
Guys, if you ask me, they're not worth the trouble.
Thanks a lot, Sammy said.
Olivia patted his hand.
Don't worry, sweetie, you're the exception.
The group settled into an uneasy silence. Farrah tried to focus on the sound of the waves, but her mind was running a million miles a minute. She used to fantasize about Courtney and Leo breaking up. They'd part amicably. Leo would realize he'd been in love with Farrah all along, and Courtney would give them her blessing. She didn't know when or how, but somewhere along the way, that fantasy had dissolved. Farrah didn't want Courtney and Leo to break up. She wanted the group to stay the way it was. Their collective friendship meant more than any selfish individual desire. Farrah squeezed her eyes shut and quieted her thoughts enough to let the warmth and waves work their magic. It was so nice here. She didn't want to go back to Shanghai. She wanted to stay here forever. Who was in Shanghai anyway?
Blake.
Blake's in Shanghai. The thought was so unexpected, it kicked Farrah right out of her dreamy state. She was in paradise. What was she doing thinking about Blake and his dimples and his muscles? Good Lord, those muscles. He could probably bench press her without breaking a sweat. Farrah's mouth dried. She wondered what he was doing. Going out every night? Having wild monkey sex with a rotating cast of girls in every corner of the dorm? Probably. She hadn't seen him hook up with anyone since the program started. But that didn't mean he didn't do it. You couldn't be a college guy who looked like that and not be getting some on a regular basis. It was the wrong mental route to take because Farrah couldn't keep the resulting flood of images at bay. Blake, naked. Blake and faceless girl having sex in his room. Blake and faceless girl having sex in the kitchen. Blake and Farrah having sex in the student lounge.
Whoa, where the hell did that come from?
Farrah's eyes flew open. She slammed her mental gate down in panic and stopped the images in their tracks. They continued to hover near the entrance, waiting for an opportunity to sneak back in. Her heart beat double time. The last fantasy came through so vividly she might as well have broadcast it to the world. Farrah snuck a peek at her friends. They lolled on their beach towels, oblivious. She squeezed her eyes shut again.
Think of Leo. Think of the full moon party. Think of Grandma in her old pink pajamas. Nothing worked.
The fantasy of her and Blake pushed against her consciousness. If she let herself,
She could still see it. Her soft flesh pressed against Blake's hard muscles, his hands gripping her hips, their mouths fused in a hungry embrace. A surge of heat coursed through her body. Farrah flipped onto her stomach and buried her face in her hands. The ache remained.
Wait, my timer didn't go off yet, Olivia protested. We're supposed to flip every 20 minutes, she poked Farrah's back. You are kind of red. Maybe you should apply more sunscreen.
I'm fine, Farrah said, her voice muffled.
I'm reapplying for you. Stay still.
Farrah didn't resist as Olivia slathered her with SPF 50. Instead, she lay there and wondered why exactly she was fantasizing about sex with Blake Ryan. Deep down, she knew the answer.
I am so screwed.
Chapter 10. Blake's dry spell? Dunzo. Thank God. If he went any longer without sex, they'd have to wheel him into the ER for emergency blue ball surgery. However, despite Mina's considerable skills in bed, their fling wasn't as satisfying as he'd expected. It was like junk food, good in the moment, until the high dissipated and left him emptier than ever. Blake watched as Mina slipped into her heels and slung her bag strap over her shoulder. Luke texted a few hours ago saying he'd swing by after he dropped his luggage off at his homestay. He expected his ex-roommate to bang down his door any minute now. Someone knocked. Well, that was scarily accurate timing.
That's my cue, Mina drawled.
Like Blake, she had no desire for after-sex chit-chat. They met up, banged, and parted ways. Easy, simple, no strings attached. I'll walk you out. Blake opened the door, expecting to see Luke's burly frame filling the doorway. To his shock, he found Farrah standing there dressed in sheep pajamas. Yep, those were definitely fluffy white sheep marching across her shirt and pants. They were so adorable and such a departure from Farrah's usual polished style, Blake couldn't hold back a chuckle.
Hey, I...
Farrah stopped when she saw Mina. One look at Mina's tousled hair and swollen lips, and it didn't take a genius to figure out what she and Blake had been up to. Surprise and another emotion Blake couldn't place flitted across her face. Tendrils of guilt snaked up his spine. Wait, I have nothing to be guilty about. Blake was single. He could hook up with anyone he wanted.
I can see myself out.
Mina stood on her tiptoes to plant a lingering kiss on Blake's mouth. He returned it with hesitation, hyper-aware of Farrah's presence.
Call me later.
She nodded at Farrah on her way out.
Nice jammies.
She sauntered down the hall and disappeared into the stairwell.
Sorry,
Farrah said, that strange expression still on her face.
I didn't know you had company.
It's fine. She was leaving anyway. Blake leaned against the doorframe. Nope. Guilt had no business here. None at all. To what do I owe this pleasure?
It's nothing.
If it's nothing, you wouldn't be standing here. Farrah blew out a breath.
Okay, I don't want you to read too much into this, but I got something from Thailand and wanted to give it to you before I forget.
She handed him a small elephant figurine. He'd been so busy staring at the sheep he hadn't noticed the elephant.
It's modeled after an elephant at the sanctuary we went to. He reminded me of you.
Blake took the elephant and rubbed his thumb over the intricate stone carving. A lump formed in his throat. He couldn't remember the last time he received a gift from someone who didn't expect something back. The pit of loneliness that had plagued him for the past week shrank from the size of a fist to the size of a pea. Stop being a pansy and toughen up. It's an elephant, for Christ's sakes. Blake ignored the warmth flooding his veins and flashed his signature smile, the one that he knew made girls melt. To his annoyance, Farrah remained unfazed. Was the elephant also handsome and athletic?
Cocky and a show-off.
I'll take it, Blake assessed the elephant. Heck, it was a good-looking animal. Thank you. This is so thoughtful. Farrah looked embarrassed.
It's not a big deal, just a trinket I picked up. Well, I appreciate it. Shows how much you missed me. He wiggled his eyebrows. I did not miss you. You thought about me. Hardly. You thought about me enough to buy this. Blake brandished the elephant in triumph. Farrah's expression was priceless. You know what? I'm taking it back. She attempted to swipe the figurine from his hands. He held it above his head, laughing as she jumped to try to reach it. I'm giving it to Josh. Blake stilled. Who's Josh? My cousin. He relaxed. Well, Josh will have to do without, because Blake Jr. is mine. Of course you named it after yourself. How narcissistic can you be? Very. Now stop trying to take him back or you're not getting your thank you present. That caught her attention. What's my present? Whatever you want it to be. That's the laziest answer ever. Yet it works. Would you rather have something you want or something someone else thinks you want? Farrah frowned. Good point. Fine, I want dinner. A good dinner. I'm starving. That's it? You want me to ask for your firstborn, too? If you want to raise him or her for me, sure. Blake shrugged. In the meantime, dinner it is, m'lady. I'll change. No, you should wear those PJs out. They're cute. He tried to keep a straight face. He failed. Shut up. Farrah spun on her heels and marched toward the stairs. I'm serious. They are cute, Blake yelled after her. She flipped him the finger without turning around. Meet me in the lobby in 10. Blake was still chuckling when he tucked the elephant into his desk drawer. He changed into street clothes and pulled out his phone to ask Luke for a rain check when a message from his friend popped up. Can't make it tonight. Homestay fam made dinner for me. Sometimes the universe aligns. Cool. Next time. On Blake's way to the lobby, he passed by Zach and Scott, who sported dark tans from their week backpacking in Vietnam. Flo was downstairs, surrounded by a pile of shopping bags stamped with Korean characters. She was showing off what looked like a pack of Jason masks to her friends. That reminds me. Halloween is coming up. I'm ready. Farrah bounded down the stairs in a coat, jeans, and boots. A scarf wrapped around her throat. Gloves covered her hands. It was 60 degrees outside. Didn't realize we were going to Siberia for dinner. Har har. Farrah flipped her hood up. I'm from SoCal. I'm cold. I'm from Texas and you don't see me dressed like an Eskimo. You're a guy. Guys make terrible decisions. That's sexist. Sue me. Blake grinned. Damn, he'd missed her. So, where do you want to eat dinner, princess? She cut a glance his way, but let the nickname slide. Any chance you discovered a cool new restaurant around here? He'd tried a bunch of restaurants, but none. Wait. A slow grin spread across his face. Actually, I did. It's not new, and it's not around here. But you'll love it. Come on. Where are we going? Farrah puffed as she jogged to keep up with him. Blake had a good 7 inches on her. Every step he took was the equivalent of 2 of hers. You'll see. They climbed into one of the cabs idling outside the campus gates. Blake gave the address to the driver, who stepped on the gas in a sudden move that threw Blake and Farrah against the back seat.
The least you can do is tell me what kind of cuisine it is, Farrah said once they straightened themselves up. Pretty please?
And ruin the surprise? No way. She pouted.
Fine. At least tell me whether the food is good.
I have no idea.
Blake!
The driver slammed the brakes as they approached a red light. Everyone jerked forward. Christ, this man's driving was the reason they invented seatbelts.
How can you not know if the food is good or not? Farrah clutched her chest. Are you taking me to an untested restaurant?
Blake laughed. Olivia's spoiled you.
Say what you will, but the girl knows her restaurants. She's never steered me wrong.
It's not about the food. Trust me, you'll love it.
It's dinner. Of course it's about the food.
Blake smiled in response. He refused to succumb to Farrah's pleas for more information.
Instead, he distracted her with questions about Thailand, which she was more than happy to talk about. Other than what sounded like Courtney Leo drama, the trip seemed like a blast, especially the full moon party. Drinking on the beach, fire jump ropes, and bikini-clad girls, including Farah, covered in body paint, Blake regretted staying behind. They arrived at their destination. It was a well-known spot, just not amongst the college crowd. He doubted Farah had heard of it. The look on her face when the building came into sight proved him right.
"What is this place?"
she breathed, her eyes wide with amazement as she took in the architectural marvel in front of her. Tucked in the northwestern corner of the French concession, the mansion resembled a northern European storybook castle with its brown-tiled Gothic and Tudor steeples and spires. There were Chinese touches, too, like the two stone lions guarding the front gate and Chinese-style glazed tiling along its roof. It was a radical departure from the colonial architecture that made up most of the French concession. Blake grinned at Farah's reaction. "It's called Mahler Villa. It belonged to some rich European guy, but it's a hotel now. Don't worry, there's a restaurant inside."
"How did you find this place? I can't believe I've never heard of it, and I'm supposed to be the design student."
"It's not in a lot of Shanghai guides. I only know about it because I was hanging out in a cafe nearby and one of the staff recommended it." Farah slid a glance in his direction.
"You met quite a few new people while we were gone."
She was no doubt referring to Mina. For his own sake, Blake chose not to take the bait. They didn't have reservations, but the hostess squeezed them in after Farah said something to her in Mandarin. He couldn't understand everything she said, but he picked up on the words boyfriend, nanpengyou, and 1 year, yinyan. "What did you tell her?" he whispered as the hostess led them to their table.
"I told her you're my boyfriend and it's our 1 year anniversary. This was where we had our first date, but you forgot to make reservations."
"Throwing me under the bus. Typical girlfriend behavior." Her silvery laugh was music to his ears. "Chill, man. Stop acting like you've never been on a date." He caught himself in the nick of time. This wasn't a date. This was... why were they here again? Right. He was thanking her for the elephant. It was 100% not a date. Just a guy and a girl he found wildly attractive having dinner in a romantic hotel in Shanghai. Shit. They took their seats and examined their menus. Blake hadn't been lying when he said he didn't know if the food was good. Judging by the way Farah's eyes roved the room, examining every detail, it didn't matter. They both knew what they were here for, and it wasn't the lamb. "You really love it." Her gaze snapped to his.
"What?"
"Design. You haven't stopped staring at the architecture since we arrived."
"Sorry. Am I being a bad dinner companion?"
Farah bit her lip.
"This design contest is taking over my life."
"It's nothing to apologize for." In fact, her passion fascinated him. What was it like to wake up every day feeling that excited about something? Pretty nice, he'd bet. "How did you get so interested in interior design?"
"You could say it's been a lifelong dream," Farah smiled. "Sounds cheesy, but when I was 7, my parents redecorated the house and I tagged along with them to the furniture and paint stores. Most kids my age would have found it boring. I loved it. Turns out I had a knack for matching colors and arranging furniture. My dad even brought me to his office."
A shadow crossed her face. Farah cleared her throat and sipped her water.
"Anyway, the rest is history."
"A 7-year-old prodigy," Blake teased. He stabbed a piece of meat with his fork. "Do you think you like design so much because you're good at it, or you're good at it because you like it?"
"I never thought about it."
Farah traced the rim of her glass with her finger.
"Both, I guess. I'm good at it and I like it. I love taking a space and helping it fulfill its potential. Like this restaurant is just a room, right? But with the right furniture and colors, it's a formal dinner spot. Change things up and it can be a cozy library or a modern minimalist gallery. It can be anything. My job is to mold a space into something that's perfect for the owner,
something that'll transform it from just a room into an experience or a home. We spend most of our lives indoors. How incredible is it to shape something that's such a huge part of people's lives?
Blake was so swept up in Fair's enthusiasm he could picture everything she was saying. The library, the gallery, the gasps of delight when the owners saw their redecorated homes for the first time.
I'm rambling.
No. I love hearing you talk about it. It's captivating. The words slipped out without thought. Part of Blake wanted to take it back, but it was the perfect word to describe how he felt seeing the sparkle in Farrah's eyes and hearing the animation in her voice. Farrah blushed. Blake's stomach did a slow roll. He thought he'd gotten over the silly things his body did when he was around her. After all, he'd had enough sex the past 3 days to get any girl out of his system. Guess not. Farrah grabbed water.
Isn't that how you feel about football?
The warmth dissipated. Blake leaned back and fiddled with his own glass. If that were true, I'd still be on the team.
You were so good. Or so I heard, Farrah shrugged. I don't follow football.
A smile touched his lips. Thank God. I'm the opposite of good at what I did. Didn't particularly like it. Not enough to do it for the next 10-20 years of my life.
That's why you quit?
Blake swallowed. It's part of it. Fortunately, Farrah didn't press him on the issue. Unfortunately, she asked him a harder question.
If not football, then what do you want to do?
Blake remembered his excitement at the end zone. He'd thought he could do it, start his own business. After sleeping on it, it seemed ridiculous. Sure, he'd already designed the menu in his mind, and he had a million ideas for marketing and how he wanted the place to look. But dreams don't require capital. Businesses do. The only capital he had was a couple $1,000s in savings. A liquor license alone cost more than that. Blake forced himself to smile bigger. I'll figure it out.
Chapter 11. He can't do this to me. Chris snatched a dress off the rack and tossed it on the growing pile of clothes draped over her arm without glancing at the price tag. I won't let him. Be careful, Olivia winced. That dress is like $1,000. Good. I'll get one in every color. Chris added the red, gold, and blue versions before moving on to the skirt section. Farrah trailed after her, trying to ignore the fact that the total value of the items in Chris's arms equaled that of a small country's GDP. She always does this when she's upset, Courtney whispered. She'll be fine after some retail therapy. Honey, that's not some. That's a lot of retail therapy, Olivia said, as Chris dumped her haul onto a nearby saleswoman's arms so she could flick through a rack of Maison Margiela skirts. Besides, I don't think shopping will cut it this time. Her dad is getting married to someone 5 years older than her. That's got to sting. I can hear you. Chris yanked a skirt so hard off the hanger, the delicate material ripped. Everyone gasped. The saleswoman looked like she was going to have a heart attack. Calm down, I'll pay for it. Sweetie, slow down, Farrah said gently. We can't carry all of this back to the dorm. I'll hire someone to carry it back. Don't you know? Money can buy anything, including a 26-year-old redheaded bimbo who thinks she can take my mom's place. Chris's lips trembled before she caught herself. She tossed her hair over her shoulder, her jaw set in defiance. Oh, honey, Courtney's eyes swam with sympathy. It'll be all right. Maybe she isn't so bad, Olivia said. Maybe she really loves your dad. Please, Chris sniffled. He's twice her age, and I love my dad, but he's not George Clooney. The only thing she loves about him is his bank account. So, the strategy is to drain it before they get married? Farrah joked, trying to lighten the mood. It didn't work. Hilarious, Chris said. I can't stop the wedding while I'm in Shanghai, but I can strategize. They're not getting married until next November. In the meantime, I'm going to let Daddy know exactly how upset I am. Oh, I think he knows, Courtney said. The entire girls' hall heard you screaming yesterday. Farah and Olivia nodded in affirmation. The only language my dad understands is money, and he has tons of it. What I spend today won't even make a... Chris stopped and held up a finger. Wait. They waited. Court, your birthday is coming up. 2 weeks. Courtney rubbed her hands in anticipation. We're going to rage. Geno's and 808 will never be the same. Forget Geno's and 808. Chris fished her black Amex out of her purse and handed it to the saleswoman, who snatched it up and hurried to the cashier without dropping any of the clothes items on the floor. I've got something better in mind. What that something was, no one knew. Chris refused to tell them because she wanted it to be a surprise. All she said was not to schedule anything for the entirety of Courtney's birthday weekend and to let the rest of the group know. When they returned to the dorm, Chris hightailed it to her room with her purchases. Olivia, who'd made it to the interview round for the C.B. Lippman internship, wanted to prep for her video call tomorrow, while Courtney had a Skype date with her family. That left Farah with the rest of the afternoon to herself. She'd finished her homework and didn't feel like wrestling with YouTube or Netflix. Between her VPN and the dorm's slow-as-a-snail Wi-Fi, streaming video was a constant struggle. She wandered down to the boys' floor to find Sammy. He wasn't there. Neither was Blake. Farah wondered whether he was with the brunette she'd seen coming out of his room the other day. Her stomach twisted at the thought. Were they dating? Where did they meet? If they were dating, Blake and Farah's dinner seemed quite intimate for a guy who had a girlfriend, no? Farah could have sworn... No. Stop it. Farah forced herself to stop thinking about Blake and ran through her other options for company. Luke and Leo lived in homestays, and she wasn't desperate enough to seek out Nardo. As a last resort, she checked the student lounge, which FEAers never used. Why would they, when they had a whole city to play in? The quiet lounge carried the musty smell of a place that hadn't been disturbed for a while. Farah was about to leave when she noticed the person reading in the armchair in the corner. A faint sliver of sunlight illuminated Leo's sculpted features. Dostoevsky, she said, making out the book cover from a distance. Impressive. Leo's head jerked up. His shoulders eased when he saw who it was. You should work for the CIA. I didn't hear you come in. I'm guessing it's less my spy skills and more the crime and punishment. Farah pulled up the chair opposite Leo. Not a lot of college students spend their Saturday afternoons reading Russian literature. They're missing out. What's more exciting than crime and punishment? Farah's mouth quirked up. You have a point. This was the first time she'd seen Leo since Thailand. He and Courtney said they made up after their fight, but the air between them remained tense. Leo had begged off every group dinner since they returned, citing schoolwork or homestay obligations.
You look like you just ran a marathon.
Sort of. I went shopping with Chris.
That explains it.
I don't know if Courtney told you, but Chris found out her dad's getting remarried to some 26-year-old he met at a cocktail bar a few months ago. She's pissed. Farah watched for a reaction to Courtney's name.
I wasn't aware.
Leo's face was as smooth and blank as marble.
That sucks.
Time to stop beating around the bush. What's going on with you and Courtney? Whatever it was, they needed to suck it up and make up, for real.
I don't know what you mean.
You had that big fight in Thailand, and things haven't been the same since.
Leo thumbed through his book. They've been fine.
You've avoided us. Correction, you've avoided Courtney since we got back.
I've been busy.
Bullshit. Farrah slammed her hands on the armrests, causing Leo to jump.
Tell the truth. What's going on? Are you guys breaking up?
We're not dating.
I'm not an idiot. Neither of you has been with anyone else since the year started. In college world, that's dating.
Really? Leo arched an eyebrow. Shall I pull out a dictionary?
Don't change the subject.
He flipped his book open and closed.
Look, Courtney's a cool girl. She's fun, and I enjoy hanging out with her. But
he trailed off. His brows drew together in a deep V.
She can be a little
bossy.
Leo shrugged. We all know she's bossy. She knows she's bossy. That's part of her charm.
I guess, Leo sighed. Sometimes I wonder what it'd be like to be with someone more chill. Someone like you, for example.
Farrah choked on her spit. He didn't say that. Did he just say that? This was the moment she'd fantasized about since she first laid eyes on Leo. She expected fireworks. She expected sweaty palms and jitters in her stomach. Instead, there was nothing. The butterflies that used to take flight whenever she saw Leo didn't so much as stir.
Hypothetically, Leo's face crinkled into a smile. I know I'm not your type.
You're not? That was news to her. Leo was exactly her type. Tall, dark, handsome, sensitive, intelligent. He checked every box on her ideal guide checklist. And yet, nothing. Maybe she was so used to pining after him, she didn't notice the flutters anymore.
Nah, you need someone who can challenge you. You'd get bored with me. The two of us would just sit around all day in our thoughts.
She laughed. There are worse things in life.
True, but it wouldn't be very exciting.
Which is why you and Courtney are perfect. She talks enough for both of you.
Leo's laugh joined hers.
That she does.
In the approaching dusk, Leo looked like a sculpture come to life. But as Farrah sat there across from the boy she'd fantasized about since the beginning of the semester, she felt nothing. No butterflies, no skipped heartbeats, no giddiness from his mere presence. There was only one person who made her feel that way. He was blonde and cocky and infuriating. Everything Farrah thought she didn't want. But he was also sweet, thoughtful, and made her laugh in a way no one else could.
Oh, God.
Farrah slid down in her chair. She ignored Leo's questioning look and instead wondered how the hell she ended up falling for Blake Ryan.
Chapter 12. Blake was going to jump. 70 stories, 764 feet, and nothing but a rope to keep him from sailing into the afterlife at the tender young age of 21. It was a hell of a bet. Courtney's birthday weekend could very well turn into Blake's death weekend, but fuck it. What was life without some risks? Beside him, Farrah clutched the railing with one hand and her necklace with the other, eyes wide and face deathly white. Terror emanated from her in waves.
I can't do this.
She tugged at her harness like it was too tight.
Take this off me. I can't do it. I'm going to die.
It'll be okay, the bungee jump operator said soothingly. We've done thousands of these jumps. We know what we're doing. Our safety equipment is top of the line.
Pass.
Farrah backed away and tugged at her harness again. Her breath came out in short, panicked puffs. The operator looked at Blake, the only person in their group who had yet to jump besides Farrah. I'll talk to her, Blake said. Give us a minute. He walked over to Farrah and placed his hands on her shoulders. She trembled beneath his hold. Take a deep breath. In one, two, out one, two. That's it. How are you feeling?
Not good. I hate heights.
Farrah gulped in another breath.
I don't know why I agreed to this. Tell Court I'm sorry and that I'll refund Chris her money. Wait, no. I'll tell them myself when I go down.
She raised her hand to beckon the operator once. Blake grabbed her wrist and eased it down.
Whoa. Before you leave, hear me out. Don't waste your time. I'm not changing my mind. Do your jump and I'll meet 7,000 miles.
Farrah's brow knit in confusion.
Excuse me?
That's how many miles you flew to get from the U.S. to China. 7,000 miles.
Okay.
Did you spend all that time and money to get here so you can stand on the sidelines and watch other people live their lives? Farrah's jaw dropped. The words sounded harsh to Blake's own ears, but they needed to be said.
That's not living, Farrah jabbed her finger at the jumping platform. That's dying. If I jump off that platform, I'll die.
Bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
Farrah, think of everyone that's jumped tonight and survived. Fuck, even Luke did it, and he weighs 3 times more than you do. If he can't break the rope, no one can. Blake's eyes twinkled. I hate to break it to you, but you're not that special.
Ha ha.
Farrah's expression lightened before it tensed again.
I'm still not doing it. Even if the rope doesn't break, I'll have a heart attack in midair.
Okay, Blake released her. We're not going to force you to do something you don't want to do. If you're really uncomfortable with the idea, you can leave and no one will judge you for it. But before you do, look around and tell me what you see. She did. Blake followed her gaze and took in their surroundings. They stood atop Macau Tower, home to the world's highest bungee jump. Beneath them, the city's lights and sprawling casino hotels glittered like a carpet of fallen stars.
I see Macau?
You see Macau. I see a choice. 6 months ago, Blake would have punched himself in the face if he heard these words coming out of his mouth. He sounded like a damn self-help book. But this wasn't about him. This was about Farrah. You can either stay in your comfort zone or do something that makes your heart goddamn race. One's safe. The other is scary as hell. You know where the safe path takes you, but it only takes you that far. The scary path? No one knows. It could be awful, or it could be the best decision you'll ever make. Blake got so caught up in his speech he forgot whether they were talking about the bungee jump or something else. Damn, I should be a motivational speaker. Farrah's eyes swam with uncertainty. She looked around once more.
I'm really scared.
You should be. So am I. But think of how good it will feel after you do it. Bungee jump, $500, facing your fears, priceless. Farrah's laughter was music to Blake's ears. She loosened her grip on her necklace.
You are such a cheeseball.
There's nothing wrong with cheese. It's delicious. Blake's face softened. How about this? If you don't jump, I won't either. Her eyes grew round.
You don't have to do that. I want to.
What are friends for? Blake smiled a crooked smile. Second option. If you jump, I'll jump first. I'll catch you if you fall. Not that you will, he added quickly. A slideshow of emotions played out across Farrah's face. Fear, nervousness, and ultimately determination.
No, she said. I'll go first. I need you here for moral support.
Blake grinned. You got it. He flagged down the operator. Good thing Chris reserved the entire hour for them. Otherwise, the staff would have kicked them out a long time ago.
If I die, it's your fault,
Farrah said while the operator checked her harness to make sure it was tight enough and buckled correctly. Noted. Without thinking, Blake reached out and squeezed her hand. The touch of her skin against his sent his heart racing in a way that had nothing to do with their impending jump off a 70-story tower. You'll be okay. I'll buy you a drink after we're done.
Ready?
The operator asked. Farrah took a deep breath. Her skin had a faint green tint.
No.
She took her position on the jumping platform and looked over her shoulder at Blake.
Make that drink a double.
Done. Farrah faced forward.
Blake held his breath, his heart pounding in triple time. She hesitated, and for a second he thought she was going to back out again. But she took the leap, and her scream echoed in the cold night air. He could pinpoint the moment the rebound happened because he heard another scream, fainter this time, and then silence. A grin spread across Blake's face. Damn, she did it. She really did it. A wave of pride flooded him. You're up, the operator beckoned to Blake. After he passed the safety check, Blake took Farah's spot on the jumping platform and looked down. 764 feet was a long way to fall. Ready? The operator and an assistant grasped the back of Blake's harness. He nodded. They let go. Blake pictured Farah's face. If she could do this, so could he. Fuck it. He was in Macau. He was on top of the world. It was now or never. Blake closed his eyes and took the fall.
Chapter 13. Farah didn't die. On the contrary, she'd never felt more alive. She grabbed Chris's hand and spun her around, her skin buzzing with energy. She couldn't stop smiling. She was on top of the freaking world. Thank you for this, she shouted over the music. The idea Chris had during her retail therapy session turned out to be a humongous idea. An all-expenses-paid trip to Macau for Courtney's birthday weekend. The bungee jump packages alone cost $4,500 for the group. That wasn't counting the flights, meals, drinks, suites at a five-star hotel, and various other activities. The total bill must have run in the five figures. Farah couldn't fathom any parent being okay with their kid dropping that much money in one weekend. But she couldn't bring herself to care. She was too happy, too buzzed, too everything. Anytime. I love Macau, Chris shouted back. Her eyes glowed with a mixture of triumph, defiance, and satisfaction. And Daddy's going to freak when he sees next month's credit card bill. I can't wait. He'll finally understand how upset I am about Gloria. So, the redhead had a name. The music transitioned from the down-tempo, hypnotic beats of EDM to a sultrier club remix of the latest R&B hit. Farah smiled when she saw Courtney and Leo making out in the corner. Guess her talk with him worked. Courtney's birthday fell a day before Halloween, and she insisted on wearing a costume-esque outfit. Her gold flapper dress glittered like a ray of sunshine in the dark nightclub. Farah's gaze flittered around the club and landed on Blake, who was drinking with Luke at the bar. In the club's dim reddish light, he looked like sin and temptation rolled into one. Blake turned his head to say something to Luke, and the move threw his profile into sharp relief. The sculpted cheekbones, the high straight nose, the strong jaw. How was it possible for someone's face to be that perfect? It wasn't fair. Yet when Farah looked at him, she didn't think about how Blake resembled a Greek god. Okay, she thought about it a little, but all she could focus on was the way he'd held her at the top of the Macau Tower. The warmth that rolled through her when he offered to skip the jump with her. How he made her feel like she could conquer her biggest physical fear. And she had. You've got it bad. What? Farah asked, distracted. Blake laughed at something Luke said. The butterflies in her stomach performed a somersault that would make Simone Biles proud. You have a crush on Blake, Chris sang. Farah whipped around to face her friend. She flushed crimson. I do not. Please, I know that look. You totally want to jump Blake's bones. Shh. Farah glanced back at the bar. Blake remained deep in conversation with Luke. Do you want everyone to hear you? No one can hear shit. It's loud in here. He can hear you, Farah gestured at Nardo. Thanks for realizing I'm here, he said sardonically. Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. A girl liking Blake Ryan is hardly news. Guys like that always have a line of girls waiting to go with them.
Nardo sniffed. It's an uninspired choice, really.
Thank you for your unsolicited opinion, Chris pushed Farah toward the bar.
Ask him to dance.
I don't think so.
So much for her earlier I can conquer the world high.
Farah didn't make the first move. Ever. The thought of rejection and the accompanying humiliation was too much to bear.
Why not? You like him, don't you?
That's not the point. I can't just go up there and ask him.
Honey, it's the 21st century. Girls can make the first move.
What if he says no?
Then he's an idiot. You're hot.
Okay, but that doesn't mean...
Farrellyn, if you make one more excuse, I'm going to shove my foot up your ass. Go!
Okay, she could do this. She was asking Blake to dance, not to marry her.
Farrah forced herself to walk to the bar. Her stomach cramped harder with each step.
Luke noticed her first.
Hi.
Nice. Blake's eyes crinkled into a smile.
I see you're here to claim your drink.
What? Oh, my drink.
Right. The post-jump drink he'd promised her.
That's why I'm here,
Farrah said, relieved to have an excuse.
How does a double tequila shot sound?
It sounded terrible, but she needed liquid courage.
Perfect.
As Blake placed the order, Farrah worked on taming her nerves. She jumped off a fucking tower tonight, for Pete's sake. She shouldn't be this nervous over a simple dance.
I need to pee before I drink tequila, Luke announced.
Farrah eyed the yellowish-brown liquid in her shot glass and wrinkled her nose.
Ah, thanks for letting us know. Blake clapped Luke on the shoulder. Go do your thing, man. Peace.
Luke threw up the peace sign and ambled off. He was so tall, he towered over everyone else in the club.
He's so gone, Farrah said.
Oh, yeah, he's done. I'll be lucky if he doesn't puke all over our bathroom tonight.
Blake sprinkled salt on the skin between his thumb and forefinger and handed the shaker to her. She did the same.
To conquering fears.
To conquering fears.
Farrah clinked her glass against Blake's and downed the tequila. She grimaced and bit into her lime wedge, letting the sour fruit balance the flavor of the alcohol burning its way down her throat.
God, tequila shots were gross.
On the bright side, it didn't take long for her buzz to return and smooth her frayed nerves.
This was it. Time to ask him.
Who's the girl?
Wait, that wasn't the right question.
Blake tilted his head.
What girl?
The girl I saw coming out of your room the night we went to Mahler Villa.
Farrah had avoided asking or thinking about Mystery Girl since that night. But now she couldn't stop thinking about her. It didn't take her genius to realize what Blake and Mystery Girl had been up to. Was it a one-time thing, or was he still seeing her?
Farrah fought the urge to dry heave.
Yep, the post-jump high was 100% gone. Discomfort filled Blake's face.
She was a girl I was seeing.
Seeing, meaning more than once.
Was,
in the past tense.
Oh,
Farrah fiddled with her empty glass.
What's her name?
Mina.
She's really pretty.
The discomfort deepened.
I guess.
Are you still seeing her?
She's leaving Shanghai next week. I might say goodbye.
Wow, that's romantic.
It came out more sarcastic than she intended.
What was wrong with her?
Farrah's head swam. The tequila shot was not a good idea. Blake scowled.
Ours was not a romantic relationship. We knew going in that it was going to be purely physical. I know that's hard for you to understand.
Wow,
Farrah sucked in a breath.
Why is it hard for me to understand? Because I'm a virgin? That doesn't mean I grew up in a nunnery, Blake. I know what hookup buddies are.
No, you're taking this the wrong way.
Blake raked a hand through his hair, his face taut with frustration.
I meant you're a romantic. You said it yourself. You believe in the one and epic love and all that. I don't. That's not what I came here for.
He was right. He'd said it all along. Blake didn't believe in love.
Farrah was a fool to forget that.
She'd been so caught up in her daydreams, she ignored what was right in front of her and read too much into every glance, every word, every action. When Blake took her to dinner and gave her that pep talk on the tower, it wasn't because he liked her. He was just being a good friend. Good friends had their place, but Farrah was sick of falling for guys she couldn't have. They were always either emotionally unavailable, like Blake, or literally unavailable, like Leo. She needed to stop living in the clouds and return to reality.
Maybe that's not what I came here for either.
Farrah grabbed the drink nearest to her and chugged it.
Vodka. Blah. Hey,
the owner of the drink protested. The buzz intensified. Her heart beat fast with adrenaline.
I can have casual hookups, Farrah said. I'll prove it.
Blake's brow knit into a frown.
Farrah?
His voice carried a warning. Farrah ignored it. She grabbed the drink owner's shirt. He was young, decent looking. He'll do.
You, are you single?
Yeah.
Good, let's dance.
Farrah dragged him onto the dance floor without sparing Blake another glance. She bypassed her surprised friends and wrapped her arms around the guy's neck. The music segued into another, even sexier R&B song. Farrah ground her hips against drink guys, gyrating to the beat of the music. He was wearing too much cologne, and his breath smelled like cheap vodka. Luckily, she was drunk enough to overlook both of those things. Fuck Blake. Farrah wasn't waiting for Prince Charming. And she wasn't naive enough to think she'd find him during study abroad. Her mistake was tunnel vision, focusing on one guy she liked and ignoring the rest of her options. It was time to give other guys a chance. She didn't need butterflies and skipped heartbeats to have a good time.
Wow. Drink guy's eyes glazed over. I'm so glad you took my drink. I'm Greg.
Greg, I'm Farrah. Now shut up.
Okay. A minute passed. So, where are you from?
Farrah groaned. Instead of answering, she grabbed the back of his head and kissed him. That'll shut him up. Greg wasn't a great kisser, but what he lacked in skill, he made up for in enthusiasm. His lips moved eagerly over hers, and his hands cupped her bottom. Greg was gone. Farrah frowned. Her eyes fluttered open to see Blake towering over them with a face like thunder. He gripped Greg's shoulder so hard his knuckles turned white.
You've made your point.
His voice was calm, but edged in steel. A muscle ticked in his jaw.
I'm not making a point, I'm making out.
Farrah giggled at her play on words.
Now let him go so we can continue making out.
Yeah, man, you're hurting me.
Greg complained. He tried to twist out of Blake's grasp. Blake clamped down harder.
I'll give you to the count of three before I rearrange your face, he said in that deadly calm voice.
Greg looked at Blake, then at Farrah, then at Blake again. He held up his hands.
Don't need to shoot me twice.
He scampered off. Pussy.
Look what you did. Happy now?
The room tilted to the right. Farrah shook her head until it corrected itself.
Not even a little bit. You're drunk.
No shit. We're in a bar.
That guy had his hands all over you.
So? If I didn't want his hands all over me, I would have taken care of it myself.
Farrah shoved Blake's chest, her buzz giving way to anger. Blake didn't budge. It was like trying to shove a tree. One with stupid dimples and stupid blue eyes the color of crystals. Only now, the dimples were nowhere to be seen, and his eyes had darkened to a furious shade of sapphire.
You had no right to scare him away like that.
I was trying to help you.
I don't need your help.
Guys.
Sammy stepped in between them. Olivia must have put him up to it, because he looked like he would rather be anywhere but here.
Let's take it down a notch. Why don't we-
Shut up, Sammy,
Farrah and Blake said in unison.
Yeah, okay,
Sammy returned to where Olivia stood with the rest of their friends. She glared at him.
What? I tried. We'll discuss this outside, Blake said through gritted teeth. Everyone's staring.
He was right. A crowd had formed, and people were watching the drama play out with wide eyes. She half expected one of them to bust out a bucket of popcorn. There's nothing to discuss.
Farrah, please.
Fine, she snapped. She followed Blake out of the VIP room to the exit. Sweat trickled down her forehead. Maybe the fresh air would do her some good.
No re-entry if you leave, the bouncer warned.
VIP. Farrah flashed her purple wristband as proof. The bouncer squinted at it and nodded. There was no one near the exit except for a handful of cabbies smoking and chatting by their cars. Farrah gulped in a breath of fresh air. Blake faced her.
You're not acting like yourself.
Neither are you. You're acting like a dick.
I'm acting like a dick. You chewed me out for trying to help you.
I told you I don't need your help. Blake's nostrils flared.
Fine. My bad. Go make out with that guy. In fact, go have wild monkey sex and swing from the chandeliers, see if I care.
You do. The words slipped out before Farrah could stop them.
Excuse me.
She crossed her arms over her chest. You do care, or you wouldn't have pulled him away from me. Maybe she was reading too much into things again. Maybe not. The crisp fall air cleared the fog in her head enough for her to realize Blake was not acting the way a normal friend would act when he saw her kissing someone. Why? Blake stiffened.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about why you're so worked up about who I hook up with.
I'm not.
You're yelling.
I'm not yelling,
he yelled louder.
Blake rubbed his face.
His shoulders slumped.
Fuck.
Tell me. Farrah's heart raced like she was on the edge of the jumping platform again, ready to fall. She was going down a dangerous path. But maybe, just maybe. Why do you care?
Maybe it's the same reason you care, Blake said quietly. Why all the questions about Mina tonight?
Farrah's head pounded in time with her pulse. They stared at each other, the air between them heavy with words neither wanted to say. Because, she licked her lips. Her mouth was so dry it didn't help. Blake,
I love you.
Farrah's breath caught in her throat. Giddiness bubbled up inside her. Did he say,
I love you like a sister, and I don't want to see you get hurt.
The giddiness collapsed. You love me like a sister, she repeated numbly. Sister? Worse than friend. Worse than enemy. Those things, under the right conditions, could morph into something more. Sister was untouchable. Blake didn't see her as a romantic or sexual prospect at all. Why should he, when he had girls like Mina waiting in the wings? Girls who were beautiful and experienced and looked like a cross between Megan Fox and a young Angelina Jolie. How could Farrah compete with that? She couldn't. And she didn't want to. Farrah lifted her chin. She'd be damned if she let herself pine over someone who didn't want her back. She got over Leo. She'd get over Blake. Good to know, she said. To her relief, her voice came out even. I'm glad we sorted that out. She turned to re-enter the club when Blake grabbed her arm.
Farrah, you're...
Blake stopped and swallowed. He looked tortured, as if there was a war raging inside him.
I don't...
You don't have to say anything else. I understand. Farrah extricated herself from his grasp and resumed her walk into the bar. She blinked back the burning sensation behind her eyelids. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a friend's birthday to celebrate. Farrah didn't know if Blake followed her. She didn't look back to check.
Chapter 14
Blake kept an eye on the ground as he picked his way up a steep slope of crumbling stairs. There were no handrails, and while he may not have a life plan yet, he knew it didn't include tumbling off the Great Wall of China. FEA arrived in Beijing yesterday for their big fall semester trip. After a short night's rest, the Laoshis hustled them to the Great Wall this morning. Instead of going to Badaling or Mutianyu, the most touristy and therefore easiest to navigate sections of the wall, they were hiking from Jinshanling to Simatai by foot. No cable cars, just steep stairs and more vertical climbs than Blake cared for. On a normal day, Blake could have completed the hike in 3 hours instead of the usual four. But he was so distracted he lagged behind his friends, even Chris. Well, not all of his friends. Blake reached the next watchtower and drank from his water bottle. He watched Farah out of the corner of his eye as she inched her way up the stairs toward him, her face pink with exertion. She stumbled on a loose stone and pitched forward. Blake's heart stopped.